What's up, everybody? Welcome to the TNT Wellness and Nutrition Podcast. I'm Thomas.
I'm Tyson.
I studied exercise physiology and competed in many various sports ranging from wrestling to ultra running. I use that knowledge to combine today's science with ancient wisdom to live an optimal lifestyle and to spread that information onto the masses.
I'm a lifelong weightlifter and I'm obsessed with health and wellness. My degree in biology, with an emphasis in neurobiology, physiology, and behavior, allows me to take a deep dive into the most current literature and bring that information to you.
Thank you for listening to the podcast. If you'd like to show your support, please rate and review on your favorite podcast provider, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or SoundCloud. Also, sign up on our website, tntwellnessandnutrition.com, for all of our up-to-date content.
Let's get this started. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of TNT Wellness and Nutrition Podcast. This is episode 49, and this episode is going to be a little different. We're going to do a Q&A and cover some frequently asked questions that we get a lot. So we're just going to go over some basic stuff and talk about cows in the environment, talk about recovery methods, talk about gout, shit that I honestly talk about every day. Yeah, if you're interested in any of that, just keep listening. But first, a quick check-in. So, Tom, how's your week been?
Well, I'm glad last week is over. It was a fun week, but it definitely wasn't, like, my healthiest week. Well, it's funny.
Like, what was the engagement?
Just the entire week.
Okay.
So, it's funny. It's like, back when I was 21, that would have been a super healthy week. I would have been really proud of myself. Now that I'm 31, a lot more dialed in, I'm like, man, I can't keep doing this anymore. So, last Sunday was when we got engaged, went down to Monterey. Drank quite a bit. I mean, didn't get like blacked out drunk, but you know, had a few glasses of wine, more than usual. Then Wednesday, did that Sunday, crappy night's sleep. Monday just dragged ass. I don't think, I probably got two workouts in total last week and they were
not just the best.
Yeah, shitty workouts. So Wednesday night was my fiance's brother's birthday. So he had a big party.
Oh yeah, how was that?
It was fun. Stayed up way past my bedtime. Yeah. Again, drank a little bit, like not a lot, just a few glasses, but I had to drive home. But again, crappy night's sleep.
You still pretty much only drink wine, right? Stay away from beer most of the time?
I'll drink it occasionally.
Okay.
If I'm at a bar, I'm not about to order a glass of wine. It's just yeah, for like a couple reasons. One, bars don't have good wine for the most part, and two, like it's just, it's weird.
Yeah, it's weird. Yeah, I get it.
I'll give in to peer pressure occasionally.
Yeah.
So I did that. Thursday was 4th of July. Barbecued all day. Ate great, but again, just drank. Friday was a couple friends wanted to take us out for our engagement. So ate fine. Had one meal, went out to eat. Ate, I don't know, like 20 chicken wings. Everybody was just like, what the hell? How could you eat this much? I'm like,
this is nothing.
Yeah, I was like, I want more.
Yeah.
But drank a little bit. Crappy night's sleep again. Crappy night's sleep. Crappy night's sleep. Saturday, my fiance's boss's birthday. Again, went out.
That was one on the boat, right?
Yeah. It was fun. We completely overdressed. So the event was on a houseboat. So I was like, okay, well, what does that mean? Does that mean that it's like an undersized yacht? Or does that just mean like it's like a big boat?
Yeah,
a
fancy pontoon boat.
Like there's a big difference. Yeah. I was like, well, it's better to overdress than to underdress.
Okay.
I don't know if you watched this like new Netflix movie. It has Adam Sandler on it. Mm-hmm. So like there's a scene at the beginning of the movie where they show up on this like, it's a yacht. And everybody's in like tuxedos. The girls are in evening dresses. And the dude's like in some like flip-flops, like some cargo shorts.
Yeah, Hawaiian shirt.
Yeah, just stands out like a sore thumb. And I was just like, we're not being those people.
Yeah, we're fancier than that.
Yeah, like this is our first impression. We can't be those people. Yeah. So like that was our kind of mindset going into it. But again, like just kind of drank, stayed out like all night. Mm-hmm. Again, if I was 21, this would have been fine. This has been a great week for me.
How big is this boat?
It was a houseboat, but I wouldn't call it anything bigger than that. It was just big enough to be technically a houseboat.
Okay, so we're not talking yacht status, like that. Okay.
Nothing super fancy, but okay. I just like that name with that title was just kind of a little ambiguous to me.
Yeah.
I was like, is this going to be something super fancy? Mm-hmm. And it was like a dinner party too, so I didn't really know what that meant, but it was just like, oh, here's some stuff for tacos, just sitting out.
Oh, okay. No, everybody was fancy. No.
Everybody was getting drunk and everything. I was just like, okay, well, whatever. Did that, just kind of just drank, and then Sunday, Monday, I was just so tired. We were out the entire week, so our fridge was just empty. Just eating the crappiest food, because we just went out to eat a couple times. And I finally, like, back on track. I had a great meal Monday night, and now I'm in the middle of a fast. Okay, so I've been fasting since Monday night. I'm going to at least go to tomorrow night, if not Friday. I feel great right now.
I bet.
But I'm going to go to the farmer's market tomorrow, and I'll be buying a bunch of food.
And probably eating a bunch of it.
Yeah, like, I don't know, like, how that's going to work out. Yeah. So if I can push it till Friday, I'm going to, but if not, whatever.
No, that's smart, man. When you have those real shitty weeks, like a whole shitty week, literally. Yeah. Yeah, fasting's such a... It's hard, though. It's hard. That's like pressing that restart button. It's
yeah. Tough. Well, that's why I made sure my Monday night meal was really heavy and just, like, top off.
What'd you have?
So I made these, like, chorizo hamburgers, so it was...
That pork you get from the...
No, it was just, like, normal, just normal chorizo. Mixed that in with, like, ground beef, so it was, like, a 2-to-1 ground beef to chorizo, like, mixture. Mm-hmm. Made, like, hamburgers, patties out of that with some bacon... I think it threw some, like, avocado and, like, salsa on it, too. Mm-hmm. So it was, like, oh, and threw a fried egg on top of it.
Did you do, like, in a bowl?
No, I just made that, like, a little, just, like, patties on a plate.
Oh, like a hamburger. With yeah. Okay.
When we went out to eat Friday night, that was on the menu, and one of my friends ordered it. I was, like, oh, that looks delicious. I know how to make it my way.
Okay.
I wasn't about to order that in a restaurant, eat it without the bun. It would just look really weird, and I would have made...
Eating this way makes us stand out.
Yeah, it does. I don't know if I would have made a bigger mess because I ate 20 wings and probably had sauce all over my face.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Maybe I didn't go the best route, but eating with a beard in public, especially like runny eggs like that, not the best look.
No, it gets everywhere. And your beard's pretty serious.
Yeah.
Obviously, I don't think people can't see you, obviously, but it's pretty Abe Lincoln shit.
Yeah. So this week been back on top of everything. My workout Monday. Probably went a little too hard because my legs are still sore shit. My hamstrings feel like somebody stabbed me in the back every time I get up and walk.
Yeah.
I try to do my morning routine and can barely get through it. I'm like on the verge of crying while I'm doing like my body weight squats in the morning.
Yeah, you just move, really.
Yeah, so it hurts.
But. Did you do your that like monster set deadlift you were talking about? What do you call that again?
I don't really know what to call it.
There wasn't a name, right?
There is a name. I just don't remember the name of it.
Okay.
So actually, I stepped it up a notch. Okay. Bad idea.
Okay.
So I did squats this time, because one time I go to the gym, super
barbell packed. Squats or goblet?
Barbell.
Okay.
The gym is super packed. The squat machine is open.
Taking it.
There is never a time where that squat rack is open. So I was just like, oh, doing squats today.
Yeah.
So I had like a plate and a 35 on. Mm-hmm. Not a lot of weight, but just enough to do these.
Yeah.
Got down to one. I was like, you know what? I'm gonna make this a drop set.
Mm-hmm.
So I took the 35s off and just kept going.
Mm-hmm.
So I did like 2-to-1, like back to back.
That's a lot.
And then after that.
So the same thing where you do a set almost to failure, 5 deep breaths, and then do again.
Yeah, but I've been shortening the rest. I do like 3 deep breaths now.
Okay. No, thank you.
Yeah. So it's a couple things it's supposed to do. One is supposed to be like central fatigue, just kind of like helping out with your brain, getting used to training in an uncomfortable position.
Yeah.
So when you're like running, 25 miles or something like that, you're going to be uncomfortable the majority of the time. So it kind of gets you used to that. And then it also is great for like increasing your cardiac output. It's like a Tabata set, but with weights.
Yeah, it's cardio.
Yeah.
So it's way more cardio than weights.
Yeah, so I try to do both.
Okay.
Because like that's really what I need to be doing is working on my cardiovascular health.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to combine both at the same time.
Okay. Is that all that's new with you?
I think so.
Okay, because that's actually perfect. I tried your, whatever you want to call this technique, where you do a set, doing deadlifts, a set almost to failure, then you put the weight down, you take 5 deep breaths, and then you do another set, then you do another, you just go until you're doing pretty much one rep.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know, it's just real hard for me to, well, I think I'm too dumb for this shit. Like, I don't know where to quit, because I did... one set of this, right? And I did maybe 12 reps when I probably was going to max out like 13 reps.
Okay.
So I did 12 reps, took 5 deep breaths. Then I did my second set. I only did like 4 reps.
Okay.
And then I stopped and I was like literally seeing stars. Like I was just like my lungs were burning. And then I tried to do it again. I did 1 rep. And so I only did 3 sets.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, this isn't what it's supposed to be.
No, not at all.
It's supposed to be way more than this.
Yeah, you're supposed to do, instead of like a 5x5, it's supposed to be like 9 overall. So like you're actually lifting more reps overall. because they're doing like 9 sets versus 5.
Yes, exactly. That's
part of like the thinking behind it.
Yeah. And I get it. It makes sense. And it sounds like a great technique to kind of, I'm thinking, in my opinion, just to shock thing. You know what I mean? Just to get out of a groove and to, you know, kind of stimulate growth. But so the first time I did it, totally messed it up. And I was done. After that one rip, I was sweating. And I was like, you know what? F this. Like, I'm just doing my cardio. So I did my cardio. The second week I tried this. And it's pretty similar. But I was like, okay, I'm going to lighten the load. Way, 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 way lighter. So I did 15 reps the first set. I was like, okay, cool. And I probably could do like some like 20, maybe 25.
Yeah.
Right? But I stopped. I was like, okay, cool. Then I did it. And I did 5 total rounds. And I ended with about 6 reps. But everyone knows I have like that old back injury. So when my back flares up, my leg hurts. Okay. Like my leg like goes on fire, right?
Yeah.
And the thing with deadlifts, when you start getting tired, you start getting sloppy.
Yeah.
Right?
And that's never a good thing.
Never a good thing. And never a good thing really for me. Because if I'm not on my shit with deadlifts, it's all bad. I'll be out of the gym for months. You know what I mean? Because I'll re-injure myself.
Yeah, it's a multi-joint exercise. You got 3 different joints working out, so it's easy to damage different parts of your body. And usually it's with a shit ton of weight.
Yeah, and just think, if you're already going into it compromised, you know, which I am. And so once that like 5th round and my leg started hurting, I was like, oh, I can't. Like, I'm getting sloppy. I'm not aware that I'm getting sloppy, but I know I am because my leg hurts.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, I can't do these. I was like, fuck it. And it sucks, you know?
So another way to do it is, instead of picking a weight that you can do like 15 times, pick a weight that you can do like 10 or like 8 times.
Mm-hmm.
And then instead of doing 8, do like 7 or do 6. Because then you could do 6 again, 5, 5, 4, 4, 3. So I'm a little bit heavier.
It's not going to... I don't think I can do that. I'm done trying this technique.
Yeah. You might just want to try with, like, chest or, like, shoulders.
Yeah, something where I'm healthy, I'm not injured. Might do it. Yeah.
Yeah, your chance of getting a catastrophic injury is a lot lower.
It's a lot lower. Yeah, exactly. So I might... I don't know. When I do deadlifts, I have to really just take my time and really be just cautious as shit. So
everybody should be. That's such an easy exercise to get injured.
Yeah, it is, for sure.
I mean, most of the time when you do see those, like, core videos online, it's, like, somebody blowing out, like, a knee or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's usually on a deadlift.
Yeah. Or tearing their bicep clear off the bone.
Yeah.
And, yeah, and you can see I have this new bike sitting in my living room. Or this big-ass box. So, this week, I have a Titan Fitness spin bike. And I was having some issues with it on the spin knob. So, it just wasn't working correctly. And it still works. It's not, like, 100% broken. But... I emailed Titan Fitness and I was like, hey, I'm having some issues. And it was literally like 2 emails back and forth. And my bike's passed its warranty, so they didn't have to do this. But they're like, hey, it's like, hey, we're just going to send you a whole new bike. And like 4 days later, a bike showed up at my house.
So let me get this right. So your resistance knob is a little broken.
Yeah.
Just a little knob.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they sent you a whole nother bike.
Whole nother bike.
Damn.
That's dope.
That's some great customer service. They deserve a shout out.
They do. They definitely deserve a shout out. Yeah. So Titan Fitness and, I mean, honestly, it's some knockoff shit from China, I'm pretty sure. But it's still, like, quality stuff. And I really like it. And the bike's great. So I recommend it for sure. And after this, you know, little encounter, I recommend it way more. So if you're out there, you're looking for some gym equipment, just search TitanFitness.com. They have some pretty good stuff on there. So, yeah, that's what happened this week. Oh, I want to say... I'm going to start adding timestamps to these podcasts. So on the descriptions. So if you are interested, I know I am personally, when I listen to podcasts, I like seeing timestamps so I can kind of see what topics they talk about and where to actually go through the topics in the podcast without having to listen to the whole podcast. So I'm going to start doing that now. So just check the description. And
it's really great if you want to like revisit something, or if you're like sending it to somebody like, oh, hey, this part right here really benefits you.
Yeah, the cancer stuff tossed at like 22 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Because sometimes it's hard, like, if you send somebody a podcast, hey, listen to this podcast, it's 1.5 hours long, they might not listen, but it's like, oh, hey, just listen from this point to this point.
Yeah.
I'm way more likely to do that.
Yeah, because, like, these initial 15, 20 minutes of the podcast, if someone just listens to this, we sound like a bunch of whatever dumb gym rats. You know what I mean? They're not going to realize there's actually some good information here, you know? But I had a few instances this week where... One was really frustrating, and one actually had a happy ending. So, I had an instance with a guy who, talking to him, young guy, has cancer, and I think he was like 35, and this is his second bout of cancer. Like, the cancer came back, right?
Same spot or different area?
No, so he had colon cancer in his late 20s.
Okay.
Actually got his colon removed.
vegetarian or?
Didn't talk about diet.
Okay.
Yeah, and because
that's really common with vegetarians and vegans.
Really? I bet, 100%. And so he did that. And then now he's come back because his cancer has spread. So now it's like in his liver, his lungs. And it's pretty much almost everywhere at this stage of the game, right? And it was actually really, for whatever reason, me and this guy kind of, we just got along instantly. We just kind of got along. And I was like, normally I don't bring shit up to people because it's a touchy subject.
Nutrition can be like religion to certain people.
Yeah. So I was just like, oh, I don't know. Normally I don't, but I was like, you know, I'm going to. And I was like, hey man, do you listen to podcasts? And he's like, oh, sometimes, you know. I was like, hey man, if you get bored, like there's this guy, Seafried.
Yeah.
I was like, he's a cancer researcher. He's more about the, you know, metabolic approach to cancer. I was like, search him. There's plenty of podcasts. Like, look him up.
Yeah.
And he's like, okay, I will. He's like, well, what do you think about nutrition, right? And I was like, well, I'm a real big advocate for low carb.
Yeah.
I was like, I think the vast majority of people on this planet should be low carb. And he's like, okay. He's like, well, you know, I talked to my sister's a dietitian, and she says that, you know, diet plays a big part in cancer. But my oncologist says that diet has nothing to do with cancer.
For one, the oncologist is probably old, never heard of Thomas Seyfried or the metabolic approach, and probably was overweight.
Yeah, and it's just, it literally, like, broke my heart. Like, it was so frustrating. And I was like, honestly, I can't disagree with that more. And I was like, you know, and I can't really go into it too much more just because of the situation we're in. But I was like, really look into this and look into, like, the metabolic side of it. Like, please do. And he's like, okay, I will. I don't know if he did. Honestly, I doubt it. But just him saying, like, yeah, my oncologist, who is his, that's his go-to. That's like the gold doctor. Standard. That's a cancer doctor.
Yeah.
And he said, my oncologist said, diet has nothing to do with cancer. I can eat whatever I want.
It might not be
the... And this is a guy dying from cancer. Yeah. He's going to die, straight up. It's going to be sad.
It might not be the root cause of it, but it's definitely helping it grow and definitely not helping your body deal with it.
No.
Because, there's so many different things that can cause cancer, but, I mean, it's definitely going to grow a lot faster if you're on a high carbohydrate diet.
And way more aggressively. Yeah. And if he's already in a stage where it's metastasized, it's spreading.
Yeah.
Like, bro, now is the time to get your diet in line now. So that happened, and it actually really bummed me out. Like, it is for whatever, normally shit like this doesn't get to me, but that got to me a little bit, you know?
Oh, well, since we're on top, the cancer topic, I do have some good news. I can't believe I almost forgot about this.
Yeah, please do.
My dad is, he's stopping his chemotherapy right now.
Good.
So his, it got shrunk enough, whatever. Mm-hmm. They got the results that they were looking for.
Got it.
Sorry, I'm not finding the right words for that. But so he's stopping his treatment temporarily. He's been sort of following our advice. Like, not 100%, but a lot more than he was like a year ago or a couple years ago. So he's definitely changed his diet for the better. I'm just hoping that he can stick with it.
Yeah.
He doesn't be like, oh, hey, this is gone now. I can go back to doing whatever the hell I want.
Mm-hmm. Which happens so much.
Oh, yeah. But it's like, no, this is, it might not be what caused it, but it's definitely allowing it to grow.
Yeah. That's cool. That's good news.
Yeah.
That's really good news.
You're definitely adding more fuel to the fire on a high carbohydrate diet.
Yeah. And he's going to be in a compromised position from all those drugs right now.
Oh, definitely.
This is the time to really be on point, at least for the next few years.
Help his body fully recover.
Exactly. Yeah. So that happened. I feel like I, like, took a L on that one. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't convince this guy. I wasn't that good of an advocate for everything. But I did have a win this week. So I was at work and I heard some lady just kind of behind me mention, oh, I'm going to start a plant-based diet today. Or today was my first day plant-based diet. And that's like fucking red alarms go off in my brain, right? And I'm like, oh my God. And I actually like this lady who said it, right? I was like, oh, she's cool. Me and her get along. And she said, yeah, I watched this documentary called What the Health. And I instantly turned around and I was like, I said, calling that a documentary is a stretch.
I think that's one of the like main documentaries that put us over the tipping point on like why we really need to start this.
Yeah, there needs to be a different voice.
Because it was so popular and almost every single person that I follow complete bashed it, dedicated so much time to like how much flawed science and just how many just shitty ideas they were spreading in that horrible documentary. Yeah. And it's all over Netflix.
All over Netflix.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like so prevalent. And Yeah, I was like, man, I was like, that is a... I was like, if anything, that's something called, like, a docudrama. I was like, it's a drama kind of guise, like, a documentary. I was like, but trust me, all that shit is not true. None of it's true. She goes, what, really? And I don't think she knows anything about me or what I do or even my, like, interests and stuff like this. And I was like, yeah. I was like, would you be interested in reading, like, a rebuttal to that movie? Because do I have a saved rebuttal on my phone? Sure fucking do. So I was like, what's your number? You know Nina Teicholz, the author? She has a great article online about... what the hell is bullshit?
Yeah.
And I have it saved on my phone. So I was like, hey, give me your number. Got her number. Text her that. And I said, read this and get back to me. Almost like take two pills and call me in the morning, right? Yeah. I was like, do that. And so she's like, okay. And then, you know, that's just either she's going to do it or she's not, right? Some people aren't going to do it. She texted me later that day and I was like, oh shit. Like, man, thank you. I'm actually rethinking this. I don't know if I'm going to go plant-based now. And I was like, thank you. You know what I mean? And I was like, here's this website. I have some meal plans on there. Like, I would recommend going the complete opposite. Don't go plant-based. And if you have any questions, get back to me. And so I saved one person from veganism this week. And nice. And it was nice.
Yeah. No, that's a good job.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
Yeah, so you can't save them all, but at least you can save some of them.
Yeah, at least you can save some of them. Oh, I wanted to mention... talking about that cancer stuff, I recently found out it took people 450 years to finally believe that the world was round. Do you know that? Isn't that a nice little fact?
What does that mean, 450 years?
So the Earth, I forget what year, I should have actually wrote this down, to be honest, but say in like 1600, the Earth was proven to be round.
Okay.
And it was common knowledge that the Earth was flat.
Yeah.
Everyone knew the Earth was flat. Like, everyone knows cholesterol causes heart disease, right? But we all know that's not true. And same thing with that cancer guy. I was like, fucking, we need to get this information out that, you know, the metabolic side of cancer is really where it's at. It's not genetic. And I think we pretty much know that now. There's so much information there, right? We pretty much know it. But it took 450 years for that knowledge to, like, spread throughout the world and then become common knowledge now. That the Earth is round. So we might have to wait a little while for this shit to kick in with the whole cancer thing.
Well, I don't know if there was, like, financial, like, incentives for people to think that the world was flat. Like, there is now. Like,
oh, I don't know.
There's a lot of money being on the side of cholesterol causes heart disease. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of money on, like, oncology and that whole field.
Yeah, chemotherapy.
Chemotherapy, radiation, like, all that stuff is... that makes hospitals a lot of money, and it makes pharmaceutical companies a ton of money.
Yeah, so they definitely have a financial interest in keeping this narrative the way it is. But and we obviously, they didn't have books or the internet back then, or at least the way we do now. Yeah. It's crazy. So information can be spread way more freely and way more quickly now. But I just thought that little fact was... it was interesting to me. That, like, this common knowledge, once something gets into the, like, just the culture worldwide, it's so hard to get it out.
Well, the 450 years thing kind of doesn't make sense to me. Because, like, weren't cavemen probably thinking the world was flat? Like, couldn't you say, like, 100,000 years or, like, a few hundred thousand years?
Well, maybe. It was just once we proved that the Earth was round, it took another 450 years before that become common knowledge.
Oh, okay. I got what you're
saying. That's what that means.
Okay. I got what you're saying.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's how long it took for... it took multiple generations.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that sucks, you know? At least it sucks for us. So... all right. So that's all that's new with us. So the five topics we're going to cover this week is going to be pretty much common things we hear a lot. So I'm going to talk about cows and the environment and kind of just break down the values of why cows are not to blame for global warming. We're going to talk about common or at least approved recovery techniques. We're going to talk about gout and why you shouldn't blame meat for gout. We're going to talk about how someone being full after a meal and why, or excuse me, being really tired after a big meal and what's going on with that. And we're also going to talk about the new vegan movie being promoted by James Cameron and Arnold. But before we get to those topics, let's do a quick ad from me. TNT, wellnessandnutrition.com, whole food nutrition rediscovered. If you are struggling looking to improve your health or optimize your lifestyle, you can sign up for a custom meal plan on our website, TNTwellnessandnutrition.com. Back to today's topic. All right, so the first thing I want to talk about this week is had a conversation with a lady. This was maybe a month ago or so. And she pretty much buys everything I'm preaching about animal-based diet and the health reasons for it. But she approached me on kind of a environmental standpoint. She's like, well, the only ground people have against your meal plans are environmental. She says, you know, like with cows and the environment. And I was just like, oh, that's not true. I was like, the stuff you are talking about are not true. She's like, oh, what do you mean? And I was like, well, shit, that's kind of a huge question. Like, it's going to take me a while to have this conversation. So I'm just going to kind of map it all out here. So all these big ass numbers, like, you know, cows are driving global warming and cows are producing more greenhouse gases than cars. They all stem from this one really shitty study called Livestock's Long Shadow. And this was a 2006 study from the FAO, or the Food and Agriculture Organization. And it blamed cattle for 18% of total greenhouse gas emissions worldwide, which is a huge ass number.
That's a really big number.
That in itself should show you, like, hey, this shit's wrong.
1/5 of all greenhouse emissions?
From cows.
Not right. Cars, not factories, nothing else?
Nothing okay. Else, yeah, just cows. So it's like, all right, how do they get these numbers? So it compared the lifetime carbon emissions from cattle to just the tailpipe emissions from cars. So what that means is it took every process possible to raise a cow. So the feed, the transporting of cow, the killing of the cow, the transporting the meat to the grocery store, all that shit, all that carbon produced from that. And it just compared it to pretty much the burning of fuel from a vehicle. So it took the worst possible value for a cow and compared it to the best possible value for a car. Just to show how bad that data was, it calculated the carbon emissions from deforestation in Brazil, India, Indonesia, and Sudan for soy fields and put that value towards cows. So pretty much it blamed cows for deforestation in all those countries. Does that make sense?
I mean, were cows going there and eating all the trees there?
Definitely not. Cows had nothing to do with it. So
because they ate soy, they're getting blamed for everything that soy has to do.
Just because some cows eat a tiny percentage of soy, they justify it accounting all the soy fucking everywhere towards the cows. Now, we're not talking about soy milk. We're not talking about tofu. We're not talking about protein powder, where most of that soy is going to go. Yeah. You know, we put it all towards cows.
Oh, and the oils and all that other shit that they use it for, yeah.
Exactly. Okay. Damn. So, I was like, okay, that's crazy. And you know what, specifically, like, American cows have to do with deforestation in Brazil for soy fields? Literally nothing. In America, 1/3 of 1% of the soy in America is imported. 1/3 of 1%. And not, how much of that goes to cows? Very little. Oh, yeah, that number for the deforestation, just to show how crazy it is, they counted that as an annual value. So can you tell me how you can annually deforest a forest?
That is one of the most absurd things I've ever heard. Just like they take the very worst year possible, and that's the one that they're going to use.
And that use a baseline as annual. Damn. Guess what, folks? You can't deforest a forest annually. I mean, maybe every, 40, 50 years when the trees grow back?
Yeah, I mean, even that seems like a stretch.
Yeah, like, how long does it take to a fucking forest to come back? A long-ass time.
Yeah, that's insane.
All right? So that's how they got these crazy-ass numbers. And so these numbers were then the ones used by, like, Cowspiracy, that vegan movie, which is shit, and also used by What the Health. So when you hear those values, like, oh, cows cause more greenhouse gases than cars, that's where they get these numbers from. Or they say cows cause 50% of global emissions of carbon dioxide. That's where they get these numbers from this real shit study. This study has been taken down by the authors, and it's been refuted multiple times. It's been shown to be false in every way. Like, this study is complete crap. Nothing about it is credible at all. And in November 2013, FAO's sister agency, the United Nations Environment Program, released a report called the Emissions Gap Report of 2013, which stated that for all agriculture, the figure was just 11% worldwide. Now, mind you, just whatever that was, 7 years prior, this shit study said just agriculture from cows was 18%.
And once it gets written down,
it's done.
It's just cited over and over and over again. It's that shitty diehard hypothesis.
Yes. And they knew that. Like, once that article gets written, once those titles get written, the internet, that shit's forever.
Yeah.
You know, it's done, you know? So, and the author knew that. The author knew that this fucking study was crap, and that, you know, that once any real scientist got their hands on it, they were going to pick it apart piece by piece. But it didn't matter because the information was already out there. And this is a little tidbit that no one ever talks about when they talk about this study. But who was the primary author of this study and what was his motivation? So, the primary author was a gentleman called Henning Steinfeld, and he's a German agriculture economist. And you know how this study is used for pro-vegan? This is used like, hey, save the animals, right? They're fucking the environment. Don't eat meat, okay? Yeah. Guess what? The dude behind this study didn't give a shit about animals. This guy wanted to damn cows so that he could set up more factory farm-style pork and poultry. Like, he wasn't trying to, like, hey, I love animals, let's not eat them. He wanted to make it shittier for animals. I'm talking jam as many chickens into a building as possible, jam as many pigs into a building as possible, and farm them that way. That's what he wants to do. Because he's an economist, and he thinks the demand for meat in the world is growing. So he's trying to think practically, like, okay, if we just jam all this shit into a big-ass building, we'll produce enough meat.
And normally when you talk about meat and how it's bad for you, it's specifically red meat and damning cows. Nobody really talks about how white meat is bad for you, and that is pork and chicken.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, he's just making an enemy so that his financial ties are just growing.
Exactly.
And that's so messed up, man. When we talk about, like, what animals have it worst, it's always chickens.
Always chickens.
Yeah, they have it the worst. That sucks.
Yeah, and pigs are second. So it sucks. So this whole document, this whole, I'll say studies in air quotes because it was just complete shit. It was a politically motivated to sell a certain type of meat for you. So it's like, hey, damn these cows so I can sell more chicken and more pork to you. And I mean, honestly, that shit worked. It really did. What are the numbers for cattle? Like, what's really going on? What is their impact globally, or at least in the United States, for their greenhouse emissions? So in America, agriculture accounts for 9% of total greenhouse gas emissions. Just 9%. Animal agriculture accounts for 4% of that. So how much? What's 9 minus 4?
No, are you talking 4% of the 9%?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's nothing.
Nothing. Guess what? The other 5% goes to vegetables.
Yeah.
5% goes to vegetables, not animals. And just think, this makes sense if you think about it. Next time you drive past a big-ass cornfield and you see a huge tractor tilling the field, you think cows are producing more greenhouse gas emissions than that huge tractor?
No, that doesn't make any sense.
Definitely not, right? Farming has become mechanized. And just think all the industrial fertilizer they have to use in these monocrops that they don't have to use when we're talking about ruminants and cows. So even plants like your sacred broccoli or your sacred kale, the farming and the producing of that vegetable accounts for more greenhouse gas emissions than animal agriculture. And that's crazy.
And we're also talking a different type of carbon. That goes over my head as a chemistry that I don't understand.
Yeah.
But the carbon coming from cows is natural and breaks down. The carbon coming from, like, all these machinery that we use all the time is a completely different thing and has a much longer half-life.
Well, yeah, there is, we can go into that. So the carbon from cows is really a carbon cycling. And eventually I will do a whole podcast on this topic because it is super in-depth and complex. But so there's something called a carbon cycle. So say methane is released into the atmosphere. After about 10 years, it gets broken down into carbon dioxide. Now, the cow eats the grass that soaks up the carbon from the air, and it produces methane. So really, it's a cycle. The grass pulls the carbon dioxide from the air. The cow eats it. It eventually turns this carbon into delicious steak and milk and butter, and it burps out methane, and that methane goes back into the environment. 10 years later, it gets broken down to carbon. The grass soaks it up. Cow eats it. Cow burps it out. It's a perfect little cycle. But when we're burning carbon from, like, non-industrial seed oils. Just from cars, that is actually new carbon being generated and added into the atmosphere. That's really the problem there. There's no cycle with that. We're just adding shit to the atmosphere. And that's really the problem there. There's no cycle with that. There's nothing natural about that.
Yeah, and just to add to something that you talked about earlier, with all the deforestation going on, for, like, agriculture, we're taking away the things that soak up all that carbon and recycle that into breathable O2.
Are those trees do?
Yeah, and we're just getting rid of them so we can grow these small little crops that we're going to cut down after a few months.
Yep.
Instead of something being there year-round for hundreds of years.
Yeah, I talk about muscles being a glucose sink, and that's why it's one of the major benefits of having some lean muscle on your body. But trees are a carbon sink. They literally hold on to carbon.
Yeah, that's what they're there to do. They recycle the air for us, and we're getting rid of them.
Yeah, for some soy fields.
Yeah.
And then we're blaming cows for it.
It's just wrong on so many different levels, but that is the main argument for, like, most vegans is, oh, hey, I
want environmental.
Yeah. It's like, no, not really.
No, it's not. And the, like, the numbers you're using are shit. They're not right. They're just honestly wrong. But it sucks, man. Because like I talked about earlier, common knowledge. It is now common knowledge that cows are bad for the environment.
Oh, I know. And it's sad.
It's sad. Yeah. And it's wrong. So next time someone talks to you about cows, just be like, hey, that study, Livestock's Long Shadow, is complete crap. And shit, send them my way. Like I said, I'll talk about this all day.
All right, so the next thing we want to talk about is being tired after eating a carnivore meal. What's going on? Is it not enough fat, not enough protein? What's the deal?
Well, this comes from a post, right? Do you want to mention that?
I saw this on the World Carnivore Tribe. It's a really big carnivore Facebook group. It's got tens of thousands of members. And most of the responses to it were, people were really just overthinking it. Like, it really isn't that complicated. I think they're all trying to do a lot of good, but just most people just had it, I don't know, just not thinking the right way.
Just tryhards.
Yeah. So it's perfectly natural for you to be tired after you eat a large meal. So especially if you're eating a carnivore meal, there's going to be a lot of protein. It takes a lot of energy for your body to break down all that protein. So we have two states of our nervous system. Parasympathetic, that's called rest and digest, and sympathetic, fight or flight. So what do you think you're going to be in after you eat a giant meal? You're going to go into that parasympathetic. So you're going, your body's going to want to rest and digest.
So it makes sense if you're in that mode, you might be a little tired.
Yeah, exactly. Because your body, instead of fueling your muscles so you can just walk around and like do daily activities, it's telling you, no, just chill. Let me break down this big ass meal that you just gave me. So like blood is going to your digestive system, going to your stomach, your small intestine, your liver, your pancreas, all those digestive organs to help break down that meal and absorb what you ate and send it to the rest of your body. So you just have a limited amount of energy that your body can distribute at a certain time. And the way it distributes that is based off where blood's going to go. So you can't just fuel your muscles and fuel your digestive system at the same time. Like, you know, there's got to be a little give and take.
Yeah, for sure. So most people were trying to say what? Like they were trying to get fancy with it.
Oh, you need to eat more protein, you need to eat more fat. And it's like, those could be issues if you're talking, I'm tired and I'm hungry all the time. But those aren't going to be issues like right after you eat a meal.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure everybody has experienced a food coma at one point in their life. And it's called a food coma because you just ate a lot of food. It's too much food. It's not because you ate too much carbs.
And your macros are wrong.
Yeah, no, it has nothing to do with that. I mean, every Thanksgiving, I experienced that.
Yeah, actually, that's funny. Right now, I just experienced that. So today's a high-calorie day. I've been kind of dieting the past few days. So I just ate a pound of heart, 6 eggs, a pound of swordfish. I got that's swordfish new. Like half off.
Okay.
So I was like, fuck, I'll buy it. You know, sure. And that's one of the benefits of knowing people at the butcher. They're like, hey, we're going to toss this. You want it? And I was like, sure do.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so I had some swordfish and a liter of milk. And I don't know how many calories that is, maybe 2,000, 3,000. But it was a lot of food. And I literally wanted to take a nap right after. I was tired.
Oh, exactly. I mean, that's perfectly natural.
Yeah, so it's normal, you know?
That's why there's that old saying, one of the first things you learn as a kid is wait 30 minutes to swim after you eat. And that's because it's actually dangerous. You can fucking drown if you go swimming because your blood is going to your digestive organs instead of to your muscles. So it's like, yeah, there's a reason behind that saying.
Yeah, like your mom was right.
Yeah. And if you are tired all the time, then you need to switch some things up. I mean, it could be anything. Most likely, I would think it's not enough fat because many people still fear fat. But it could be a lack of protein, too, because people still fear protein, too. So yeah. It could be either one of those.
Could be.
It could be a lack of sleep. You could be overtraining, or you could just be overstressed, just like in general. So there's a lot of issues if it's all the time. But if it's after a large meal, it's perfectly natural. Like, you should be tired after that.
Yeah, don't worry. Nothing to worry about.
Yeah. I was just so surprised. Like, nobody put that. I was like the 50th person to respond, and I was just like, why is everybody saying not enough fat, not enough protein? It's like, no, it's normal.
Yeah, just be cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so this next topic I want to talk about is I saw an ad recently about this vegan movie. Actually, it was an ad from Arnold Schwarzenegger. And if you don't know, I mean, if you just newly listen to this podcast, I've been weight training over half my life, and Pumping Iron, which is a movie from the 70s that Arnold Schwarzenegger starred in, was like my favorite movie for years. Like, my mom got it for me for Christmas when I was maybe 15 or 16, and I've watched that movie literally probably 20 or 30 times. Like, I just loved it. And Arnold Schwarzenegger was like my guy. Like, I really, like, if I could look like him, I would. I would kill somebody to look like Arnold Schwarzenegger, straight up.
Well, I think most, like, guys our generation and older, idolize Arnold.
Yes.
He was in all, like, my favorite movies growing up, you know, just, like, everybody wanted to be him. He's the man.
He's the man. He is. And so I saw him promoting this, you know, honestly, this vegan agenda about, you know, being plant-based and not needing meat to put on muscle and all this bullshit. And it just broke my heart. And I was like, man, so I'm going to have to go against my guy right now. You know, I'm going to have to really break it down. Like, why don't believe this agenda? What's that movie called?
It's called Game Changers.
Game Changer. And it's by James Cameron. So, and Arnold Schwarzenegger is going to be in it. So, and, you know, they say, like, don't meet your idols. That's something you hear a lot. Yeah. You know? Like, I put money Arnold is probably an asshole. Okay? He's rich as shit. You know what he wants more of? Money.
I think most rich people do.
They want more money,
That's
right?
How they got to that level.
Yeah. So, something I was saying is it's easy to make money in this plant-based narrative, right? Because you're selling cheap food at a high premium under the guise of health food.
And it's to people that are trying to save the environment. Because that is one of the biggest issues right now, too. Uh-huh. Yeah.
So, of course, there's going to be a markup, right? The margins for this, like, pea protein is through the roof. Well, guess what? A margin for a steak is shit. It costs this butcher $10 to produce a steak, and they sell it for $12. The margin just isn't there. But with this pea protein, they're producing all these peas for, what, $1 a pound? And they're going to sell it to you for $25.
I hate the taste of pea protein, by the way.
I never have tried it.
I tried it way back when I thought protein was protein, and I saw that it was cheaper, and I read a couple things on it saying, like,
it's great.
It's one of the best out there.
Yeah.
It tastes like crap. One thing that I do like the vegan movement for is that they have vegan ice cream, and I'm extremely lactose intolerant.
So it helps you.
So I can get ice cream now.
Okay.
But when there's like pea protein in it, I don't buy those because they taste like shit. You can actually taste like the powder, like the protein powder in them.
Oh, okay.
And they're just horrible. It's an awful taste.
Yeah, I've never had it. Yeah, that sucks.
Good, don't.
Yeah, no, I'm not going to. So the man behind the movie is James Cameron. And guess what? He's invested in a pea protein company called Ingredion. So he owns actually a food company called Verdient. And he just invested $140 million into the food company Ingredion to help make pea protein. So do you think putting out a movie promoting pea protein would help his bottom line?
Oh, I'm sure it is.
Makes perfect sense, yeah. Right? Makes perfect sense. Did you know that?
I did not know that, but I mean, it's not surprising.
It's not surprising that this dude is going to make money promoting a movie that promotes a plant-based diet.
And going back to Arnold, did Arnold really get that big off of being a vegetarian?
Fuck no. Guess what? In the movie Pumping Iron, you know what they would eat every day? Steak and eggs.
Yeah.
That was it was steak, eggs, and milk. The most carnivore meal you can have. That's what they had every day in the 70s. They went to, I think it was called the Firehouse Place next to like Gold's Gym, and that's all they had.
Yeah, that's insane.
Yeah, and now he's going back like, oh, I didn't know, I didn't need that. Oh, okay, bro. That and D-Ball got him huge.
Yeah.
Okay? So, there's actually this quote. I think, did I text you this quote about this? They're promoting this, like, quote-unquote strong man in this movie. Some, like, Middle Eastern guy. And he said something so stupid. And people are going to believe it, too. He's like, you know, oh, someone mentioned, oh, you're strong as an ox. And he was like, yeah, have you ever seen an ox eat meat? And I was like, you dumbass bitch. I was like, it hit a nerve. Because, like, people are going to actually believe that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's so stupid. Backwards logic.
Yeah, like, we have a completely different digestive system. No shit, bro. Have you ever seen an ox use a cell phone? You idiot, get off your phone. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's the same logic. So, I looked into this strong man a little bit, right? And calling him a strong man is a stretch. They kind of tout him as like a world strong man, like he's like something impressive, right? Guess what? He is not. So his max deadlift, something he got like the quote-unquote like world record for, and guess what, there's a million world records. You can do like a deadlift session in the backyard and say like me and you have a federation called a TNT Wellness and Nutrition Federation. Guess what, one of us is getting a world record. Okay, it's done. So that's pretty much what happened. So his max deadlift is a little over 600 pounds, and that may seem like a lot to like the layman out there. That's not a lot of weight for a world-class strongman.
I'm pretty sure there's a guy at most major gyms that can do that or close to it.
100%, 100% there. Hey, guess what? I'm not a world-class athlete. If you let me, give me 3 months to get fat, guess what? I can deadlift 600 pounds, okay? It's not that impressive. So I looked up what's the world record for a 60-kilogram weight class powerlifter. Do you know how much 60 kilograms is?
That's smaller than me. That's 130 pounds.
That is a tiny human being. Yeah. That is a tiny little person. 60 kilograms, right? 130 pounds?
Hey, that's a little offensive.
Right? I know, I'm sorry.
A little bit, that's why I wrestle that.
You're not a big person. Yeah. But so the world record for 132 pounds is 630 pounds. And this bitch, I don't know how much he weighs, but he's fat. He's like, oh, I'm a world-class strongman. Dude, 130-pound dude out-deadlifts you.
Damn.
Just to put it in perspective.
And
I'm so good willing, job, vegan. Good
I'm
job.
Willing to bet he didn't get to that strength by being vegan. He got that strong and then switched over.
Yes.
He's probably on a shitty standard American diet and then switched over to a more plant-based diet. And, oh, I felt a lot better. Yeah, because you were eating a bunch of shitty grains and protein bars all the time. You probably cut that out. So now you have less inflammation. But, like, that's not what makes you big and strong. You need all the animal protein. You need all those... like the B vitamins, there's so much in there that you need. All the essential amino acids. We've gone over it, I feel like, every fucking podcast.
Oh, a million times. I mean, just literally off the top of my head, I call it the 5 C's that you're not going to get on a vegan diet. So it's cholesterol, choline, carnosine, carnitine, and creatine. Those 5 things are all so important for muscle growth and honestly just overall health. And you will not get those 5 things on a plant-based diet, straight up. And don't even get me started, like you said, B12, heme iron, real vitamin A, vitamin K2, all those things you can only get on an animal-based diet.
And one of the main like arguments about why you should go vegan is because plants don't activate mTOR the same way meat does. Well, you're not going to get big and strong if you don't activate mTOR. Like, that is our body's signal to grow and build muscle.
It is.
Like, that's why you don't want to, supposedly you don't want to activate mTOR. Is because, like, it might help cancer grow. But if you're trying to get big and strong, like this movie is about, yeah, you need to activate mTOR.
Yeah, you do. And don't even get that twisted. As far as plants go, if you want to be, like, I don't know, Mr. Broccoli, eat broccoli all day, sure, you won't activate mTOR. But you know what's vegan as shit? Sugar, right? Sugar is 100% vegan. You know what activates mTOR more than protein? Insulin. What the fuck happens when you eat sugar?
Your body's getting signals to grow, just not the way you want.
Exactly. So the whole mTOR argument doesn't stand up either. I'm telling you, man, we can pick apart that plant-based narrative piece by piece. Yeah.
The most frustrating part was just like, oh yeah, you don't need this. I'm like, well, okay, show me like a small person.
A baby.
That grows to be big and strong on a vegan diet. Not the other way. Not, oh hey, they got big and strong and then switched it.
Mm-hmm.
Because like, that's not hard to do.
That's not hard to do.
Yeah,
exactly. And guess what? You'll see a lot of, I mean, maybe not a lot. I hope not a lot because it's like, it's super messed up. But babies that are dying and getting real sick because their parents put them on a vegan diet. Like, there's just not enough nutrients to support life.
So what's the very first thing a baby should be consuming?
Breast milk.
That's not vegan.
Not even close.
Like, that's one of the most species, it's probably the most species appropriate like meals out there.
Yeah.
And it's not vegan. So why would you put anything else in there?
Makes sense, right?
Yeah.
I know, it's crazy. All right, so what's the next one?
So now we're just going to go into some of our favorite recovery strategies. So the first one, obviously, you want to get in a nice post-workout meal. So always go for high-quality foods, like we were just talking about. Get good quality proteins. Eggs are my go-to just because like it's one of the most bioavailable forms of protein that you can possibly eat. And an egg is basically eating an entire animal.
Yeah, it is.
And it's easy to just, they're easy to cook. I'm tired after I work out, so that's usually my go-to. And then after my toughest workout of the week, I like to refill my glycogen stores. It's not necessary for everybody, but I'm doing a lot of unnatural things. when I run like 30 miles, that's not very natural.
No.
So yeah, I like to throw in some, most of the time my go-to is sweet potato because it goes well with eggs and they're easy to cook.
Yeah.
I'll do some white rice every now and then with like sushi, something like that. Yeah. What are some of your go-to for post-workout meals?
So I've been doing, well, I do ground heart every day post-workout. That's like my quality protein source. And I have recently introduced carb back in my routine, so I've been doing milk a lot lately. And honestly, I do feel a little more pep in my step, a little better pumps, and I can't tell if I'm getting fat or not, but I feel a little fuller, you know? So I think milk's a good carb source if you want post-workout.
So another strategy I like to use, I do this at least twice a week, sometimes three times a week. I'm going to do it today when I get home because my legs are sore as shit. It's an Epsom salt bath. So, for one, like, Epsom salt is magnesium sulfate, and your body is absorbing that magnesium through the water, through your skin. So it's a good way, kind of a more natural way of taking in some magnesium. It's a nice little supplement for that. And you can overdo it on that. I have before. One of my really tough workouts, I'm like, you know what, I'm going to double up on the suggested use. Don't do that.
Yeah, because you get that laxative effect.
Yeah, I was really shocked. I was like, what? Really? You could absorb that much? So I was like, at least now I know it's effective. Yeah. You really are absorbing it.
Yeah, so I don't do Epsom salt baths myself, but I do take a magnesium supplement, mainly because I don't fucking fit in the bathtub. Honestly, yeah. Like it would be, it just doesn't work. But I take
one of the benefits of being a small guy.
Yeah, you fit in the bathtub perfectly. But I take a magnesium supplement post-workout, so usually about 200 milligrams post-workout.
And while I'm taking those baths, like that warm water is really great. If it helps you relax, you feel really good. And I'm also doing some stretching in there too, which is always a good thing to do post-workout. Don't stretch before workouts. It's completely unnecessary. Better just to do like a full-on warm-up.
And there's actual studies saying that stretching can be harmful pre-workout. It can promote injury.
Yeah, because you're not actually warming up the muscle. And think of like a muscle as like a rubber band. So stronger rubber bands are usually less flexible. What's preventing your muscles from getting injured is the strength to overcome the force, not how far you can stretch them before they get injured.
Yeah.
Because if there's not enough strength there to overcome that force, you're just going to keep stretching that muscle, keep stretching until it snaps.
Yeah, until you get a tear.
Yeah. And this is one that a lot of people do, and it's not great to do post-workout unless you're in like these very special circumstances. And that's cold exposure. So something like taking an ice bath post-workout. So the only time it's beneficial is if you have to compete again soon. So think like a basketball player that has a basketball game one night and then another game the other night. Those athletes should be taking ice baths.
Because they need to promote recovery as fast as possible.
Yeah, exactly. But you're not getting full recovery. You're not getting all the adaptation from that tough workout.
Yeah.
It has an anti-inflammatory effect, which is good in those certain circumstances, but it's bad if you want your body to adapt. Our bodies are inflamed after a workout for a reason, and that's to
promote growth.
Yeah, exactly. So the time to do it is like first thing in the morning. It really helps you wake up. It helps turn white adipose tissue, that's just like normal body fat, into brown body fat, which is like metabolically active. It's brown because it has a lot more mitochondria into it, which adds a lot more just like color, makes it brown. And that helps keep the body warm. So like, hey, if you're keep exposing yourself to cold weather or cold water, however you're going to do it, your body's going to want to keep itself warm. So that's a natural way to do it. The next thing is compression. So this is good if you have a really tough workout and then you're going to sit on your ass for a while. Not recommended. You should be trying to get as much movement in as possible, or if you get injured. And what the compression is going to do is it's going to help like reduce swelling, and it's basically just getting blood to flow away from the concentrated area. So if you like worked out your legs, you might want to wear some compression socks, compression shorts, just get blood flowing away from that area. Blood's going to flow to it naturally, but that compression is going to help flow it away and also get your lymph fluid moving away.
Yeah, just get it back to your heart.
Yeah, exactly. The lymphatic system is where like all your waste products go, stuff that you don't want in your bloodstream. Stuff that you don't want going back to your heart. That gets dumped into our lymphatic system so it can get cleared and get excreted. So that's also why warm baths are good, is because that warm water is a form of compression. Water's pretty heavy, so it's also compressing your muscles. The next thing is elevation, and that's pretty much just if you're injured, and again, that just helps blood get away from the area back to your heart. So it's a good thing to do if you're injured. And then movement. I do all sorts of active recovery during the week. Yoga, walking, foam rolling. I try to do at least one a day. Most of the time, I do two or more a day.
But yeah, I'm definitely big on yoga. Definitely big on, I do a little, I mean, I don't know if it's a little, honestly. It's almost like an hour long. Before, I talked about earlier, like, my old back injury. So before I actually do a leg workout where I'm going to be doing squats or I'm going to be doing deadlifts, I have a whole warm-up routine consisting of yoga movements and, like, bodyweight movements. So, like, glute bridges or even, like, I don't know what they're called, leg raises, just on the ground, right?
Yeah.
Just to get my body moving to get warmed up.
Yeah, I start every day. I have a morning routine. It's mostly just a lot of bodyweight stuff. I throw in some yoga moves, some, like, downward dogs, some just kind of basic yoga moves, just kind of wake my body up in the morning. And if I'm sedentary, I try to do at least that every couple hours.
That's smart.
Yeah, just, you know, do some bodyweight squats real quick, some, like, lunges. I mean, it's not a big deal. It doesn't take very long, you know, less than a minute. And just get blood flowing. It's not natural to be sitting down all day in one, like, weird position. And what one of the major benefits of that is, again, you're just getting blood back to your heart and away from the damaged area. So either if it's a post-workout, you just damage your legs. You want to get all those harmful waste products that are building up there away from that area. So the way it does that is you need your skeletal muscle pump. Just pumping, just getting those muscles contracting. It doesn't take much. Just simple walking is enough. And that gets blood and lymph flowing away from that area.
Yeah, I know a lot of people out there have like Fitbits or Apple Watches. And they have little programs there where they'll beep or vibrate every few hours telling you to move. That's a great thing to set up. So if you have that device, you have those things, set it up, and every few hours, just get up and take a few steps.
Yeah, that's funny because my Garmin does that if I'm sedentary for an hour. But the only thing that sucks about it is I can be in the gym working out, and that's not enough movement for it to
register.
Or there's times where I'll be like on a long ass run and I'll drive home and have a long drive, and it'll tell me to move. I'm like, no, motherfucker, I just ran 30 miles. I'm not moving.
I think I'm a little tired, Garmin. Like, yeah.
It doesn't kill me any slack, man.
No, that's the toughest coach out there is Garmin. Yeah. All right, so the last thing I wanted to really cover, which sounds kind of, I don't know. Do people talk to you about gout a lot?
Honestly, I don't know if it's ever come up.
Oh, my God. People talk to me about gout so much. Like, it's the only reason I know so much about gout is because people talk to me so much about it. Probably because, I mean, being in the hospital, talking about meat, everyone's like, it's like they're gotcha. Like, oh, what about gout? You know what I mean? Like, oh, and I'm like, bitch, let me tell you about gout, right? So really what they're talking about is uric acid. And so gout is just a flare-up where you have a lot of uric acid in your blood, and then it kind of diffuse into your soft tissues and flare up and be real painful. So a lot of times it happens in people's feet. So they'll be walking kind of real gingerly, and it's really painful. I've never had it myself. But what's really going on there is people just don't know what uric acid really is. So uric acid in itself is a good thing. Like, it's a natural antioxidant our body produces itself. So over 60% of the uric acid in our blood, our body made itself. Like, it's perfectly natural. And a very common antioxidant people talk about a lot is vitamin C. People go, oh, take about vitamin C, drink a lot of orange juice because it's a good antioxidant. Well, guess what? Uric acid is better. And uric acid is the reason why humans stop producing their own vitamin C. As mammals, most mammals produce their own vitamin C from glucose. Glucose is a substrate that they turn into vitamin C. But humans stopped doing that because uric acid took over a lot of the antioxidant properties that vitamin C did. So uric acid is a better antioxidant than vitamin C. And the problem with gout isn't too much uric acid exactly. It's your kidneys' inability to excrete the uric acid. That's what's really causing the problem. And that comes from hyperinsulinemia or just too much insulin all the time. So when your insulin is elevated, it tells your kidneys to retain the uric acid. It doesn't allow your body to excrete it. And what's really going on and what's really the problem with gout and too much uric acid is fructose, so the sugar in fruit. And fructose leads to hyperinsulinemia, resulting in your kidneys retaining more uric acid, and it also leads to the production of excess purines. And this is a unique quality of fructose. And you often hear a lot that meat gets blamed for gout. They say, oh, meat is very high in purines. You can't eat meat because purines lead to gout. And there is some truth to that. There is a lot of purines in meat. And purine and eating meat can increase your uric acid in the blood. But eating meat promotes your kidneys to release uric acid. The exact opposite of what sugar does, or in this case, fructose. Fructose tells your kidneys to keep the uric acid. So you can eat all the meat in the world, and if you're eating it without carbohydrates, or if you're just eating a more low-carb diet so your insulin isn't always elevated, you don't have to worry about the purines from meat because your kidneys are going to simply excrete the uric acid. So specifically with fructose, the first step in metabolizing fructose is converting fructose to fructose 1-phosphate through the enzyme fructokinase. And this turns ATP into AMP. And each AMP gets broken down into uric acid. So when you eat fructose, or just say you eat fruit, your body releases more insulin, telling your kidneys to keep the uric acid. And then when your body is metabolizing that fructose, that sugar, it's producing more uric acid. So it's like a double whammy. And of course, that's going to lead to a gout flare-up. And it's just like, once again, the solution to that problem, to the diseases of modern civilization, which gout is one of them, is to overall reduce your blood insulin levels. And you do that by going on a low-carb diet. That's the answer. The answer is not blaming meat. The answer is getting your insulin under control.
Just talking about fructose. Well, there's like high fructose corn syrup and how many different beverages and all the processed food out there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, that's a real thing you really need to eliminate is just a high fructose corn syrup from sodas, energy drinks, those fake juices, all that crap, too. Mm-hmm.
Even, like, shitty salad dressings. I mean, you'll find high fructose corn syrup in damn near everything that's highly processed. It's there because it tastes good.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely, like, the lowest hanging fruit. And there's usually a lot more of that than there is in, like, fruit.
Yeah, that's true. And so that's really, like, when people think of gout, they automatically go to, like, red meat. Like, oh, I can't eat red meat. Don't think of steak and gout. Those should not be correlated. Think of, like, a Coke or a Pepsi and gout. That is going to lead to a gout flare-up way more than a steak ever could. And let's say you have, you're just insulin resistant. You have constantly elevated insulin. And you eat a steak with maybe some rice. And then you have a gout flare-up. Yes, those purines from the steak did not help you, right? Those did contribute to the pool. But again, it wasn't the steak causing the problem. It was the insulin response from the carbohydrates telling your body to keep those purines from the steak. You see what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. That makes like total sense.
Yeah, that's really the issue there.
Because the steak is telling your kidneys to dump it.
Dump it.
But the rice is telling your body to hang on to it.
Yes, and insulin always wins. That's like the master hormone.
Yeah, I think we've talked about this on like another podcast, or probably in several of them. But there's insulin, and then like the anti-insulin is like 6 or 7 different hormones.
Yes.
It's so powerful that it needs all these other things to combat it.
Exactly.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Insulin's a motherfucker. It really is. So if you have gout out there, if you're dealing with issues, and I might have to send this to a few people, even though this isn't a deep dive on gout, and I might eventually do a deeper dive on it, but it's not the meat. Trust me. I've had so many conversations where their doctor tells them, oh, don't eat red meat anymore. Like, oh, you can only do white meat. Like, the purines in white meat are different than the purines in steak. Does that make any sense?
I still
It's just protein.
Yeah. And what is the argument between red meat versus white meat? Because, like, is it the saturated fat argument?
Probably.
But that has
the
nothing
cholesterol
to do with this
issue. I don't know. Yeah. It's just weird. It's just so easy to blame red meat. And, like, I don't know. It's just super frustrating that, like, every out they get, like, sugar, plants, they always get an out. But any little chance people have to blame meat, especially steak, for something, they do. Like, steak always gets the shit end of the deal.
Cows are the scapegoat for everything, man.
Everything. Yeah, I know. So, yeah, I just wanted to get that out there. So, if you have gout, man, just get your insulin under control. Go on a low-carb diet for at least a few months, and you should definitely see some benefits. All right, well, I think that's all we wanted to cover today. Talked about cows, of course. Talked about gout. Talked about some recovery methods. Or do you have a tip of the week?
Yeah, this one is about just finding an accountability partner. So the best way to live a healthy lifestyle is find some way to hold yourself accountable. So that can come in many different forms. You can use money, you can use people, you can even use your pets as an accountability partner. So one thing I like to do is I like to use money. So if I have a race coming up and I already paid for it, I sure as hell am going to train so I don't waste that money. So, like, it makes perfect sense. And I also print out that race, put it on my fridge so I see it, like, every single day, multiple times, to remind me, hey, am I working towards this goal? Am I eating right? Am I getting my sleep in? Am I training right? Just having that little reminder. So yeah, I don't like to waste money. I'm cheap. I'm poor. I can't be wasting money. I can't be throwing that stuff away. Another method that a lot of people like to use is having a workout partner. We used to do this back in the day.
For sure.
Like 15 years ago. We go to the gym every single day.
Yep.
But the problem with this is you need somebody reliable. Luckily, both of us were really reliable, except once we graduated high school, we moved apart.
Yeah. At one point in time, our schedules lined up perfectly.
Yeah.
It was school at this time and then gym at that time.
Yeah. So that's the only problem with having like a workout partner is that your schedules need to work together. So that is good, but it also can be bad. Like, it's not always going to be super reliable. So another way around this is you can hire somebody to hold you accountable. So like that's what a personal trainer is for, or a health coach, like what we're doing. So those work for several reasons. One, they are educating you, teaching you how to train, giving you different workouts. For us, it's telling you how to live an overall healthy lifestyle. But they're also going to tell you the hard truth that you don't want to hear. And that's also going to hold you accountable. If you're not eating right, a friend might be saying, oh, you know, it's okay. You can go ahead and treat yourself. But we don't say that to our clients.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay, you did it one time. Fine. Move on. Hey, don't be doing this all the time. These are the 1,000 reasons why you shouldn't be drinking soda. You know, that's what having that accountability partner is there for. And you can also use your pets. I use my pets all the time. My dogs are my accountability partners. So we were talking earlier about just a way to recover. So one thing that I do is I go on at least 5 walks per week. At least. I try to get in 7 if I can. So I'm using my dogs and my accountability partners. I feel guilty. They're just like stuck in my apartment, like not moving around all day. They're dogs. They need to run around. When I take them to the park, they're so happy. So that allows me to get in a lot more like extra movement. And then I'm also getting a little bit of exercise in there too, because usually like I'll run around the dog park with them, chasing them around, stuff like that. So it's helping me out from a training standpoint, helping me get out some like time in the sun. You know, it's just an overall benefit for both of us. So yeah, you can use any type of form to find like an accountability system that works, but you just need to find what works for you and use it.
Yeah, that's a great tip. Like we said, there's nothing natural about sitting on a couch for 8 hours a day. You know, if you need dogs to give you that cue to get up and move, damn it, use your dogs. You know, it's fine.
Yeah.
Well, all right, that's another podcast in the books. You can find us at TNTWellnessAndNutrition.com. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. So if you have any questions, comments, or concerns, feel free to reach out.
Yeah, please rate and subscribe, and then send the podcast to a friend if you think that'll be beneficial. I'm sure many of you have heard these same questions that we just addressed today, so that's a perfect opportunity to do it. You can rate and subscribe to our podcast. You can find us on Apple iTunes or Apple Podcasts, whatever the hell it's called. I don't know why I can never remember that.
Yeah.
SoundCloud and Google Play.
Hope everybody. Also on YouTube now.
Oh yeah, check out our podcast on YouTube, and we're adding more videos to that all the time.
Yeah.
Hope everybody has a happy and healthy week.